The Growing Thrive Podcast, episode 82, How to Deal with Unhappy Customers.
I'm Jess Van Den, and this is the Create and Thrive Podcast. A former school teacher, I turned my handmade hobby into a thriving business, and I also teach other creatives how to do the same. My goal is to help you learn how to turn your creative hobby into a thriving, profitable business. So let's get learning.
Hey Thrivers, Jess here. Welcome to another episode of the Create and Thrive podcast. It's awesome to have you with me for another week. I'm back in the real world after a wonderful 3 days on retreat. I was at a restorative yoga retreat over Friday, Saturday, Sunday, which was a wonderful opportunity to switch off from the outside world, turn off all my devices and look within and spend some time relaxing and rejuvenating myself. So that was fantastic. It's the third year now I've gone on that retreat, and it's something I look forward to every year. And it's something I think, if possible, everybody should do at least once, to really switch off and take the time to truly rest. I think a lot of us never actually get around to having true, proper, deep rest and relaxation and rejuvenation. And it's a really, really important thing. And I could probably do an entire episode on why it's important. And maybe I should. Why we should get out of the state of constant stress we're in and move to the rest and digest response. And I actually did my teacher training as well. So I'm now a qualified restorative yoga teacher. Which I'm very excited about, because I am really passionate about bringing that experience to people and helping them do that very thing, relax, switch off and refresh themselves. So this week I wanted to talk to you about something that might stress you out. In fact, it probably will or slash has stressed you out, and that is unhappy customers. Yes, the first thing I want to say on this topic is that if you're in business, it is inevitable that you will at some stage have an unhappy customer. No matter how awesome you are, no matter how hard you try, you cannot please 100% of the people 100% of the time, and it will happen. That being said, don't like quail in fear and live in fear of this happening, because it's not the end of the world when it does happen. So I wanted to talk to you in this episode and share some strategies and some thoughts and some tips for dealing with unhappy customers, because it's something I've had to deal with before. I've been in business for over 8 years now, so it's happened to me more than once. No matter how hard I try to make sure everybody's happy, sometimes things go wrong and people get upset. So I think it's important to realize that no matter how nice you are or how good a person you are or how honest, you know, it doesn't matter. Something will go wrong at some stage, which may or may not be your fault. And how you deal with that is the true test of, you know, how people will see your business and how people will feel about your business. So let's start from the beginning. Something happens. Someone says something or sends you an email or puts something on social media about something that's gone wrong with their order or something about your interaction with them, you know, your business, they're your customer. It might be private, it might be public. And those are two different experiences. For example, waking up or checking your business to find someone's left you negative feedback, public negative feedback, can be really scary and stressful, and it's happened to me. I guarantee you it's happened to pretty much everybody, if not everybody who's been in business for a period of time. And, you know, there's also, of course, the private emails or messages people might send you. Obviously, when they send you a private message, that is preferable because it allows you to try to sort out the problem privately before it goes to a public forum. However, you will have people who don't bother trying to sort it out and just are upset and angry and just leave a bad review or, you know, something like that, because they don't want to deal with it. You know, they're upset, something's gone wrong, and their knee-jerk reaction is just to blame you and basically, you know, talk down your business and whatever might have occurred. So there's so many things that could happen. Something might have been late. An item might not have been as they expected it to be. An item might arrive damaged or it's incorrect in some way. There's lots of other things that could happen as well. For another thing comes to mind, you know, there's some countries where they charge customs import duties and things like that, and customers, if they're not savvy online shoppers, might not be aware of that, and they get hit with that and they get upset because they didn't know they were going to have to pay extra money. All of these things are potentials. Just to give you some examples of what's happened in my business, there's been times where people have gotten, well, it happens not as often as it used to in the beginning when I didn't do the right thing because I wasn't educating my customers. People get a ring and it's the wrong size. Now, 99 out of 100 times these days, that's their fault, not mine, i.e. they've given me the wrong size, and so we've had to either replace or resize at their cost. And that's very clear in our policies that, you know, it's their responsibility under Australian consumer law to give us the right size. And if it's wrong, it's not our fault. obviously, if we make a mistake and we make the ring the wrong size, then we will replace it, you know, for free as fast as possible, you know, off our own bat, because that is our mistake. But most of the time, it's been the customer's mistake. And generally speaking, people are, most of the time, pretty understanding about that. And even when you do get someone who's a little bit upset, you know, you can still deal with it by being calm, polite, helpful, and upbeat. Another issue that's arisen in the past is that, you know, one of our most popular designs is an oxidized sterling silver wedding band. Now, these rings look like a dark grey black colour, but they don't stay that way. They weather over time back to like a smoky silver colour. We work really hard to make this very clear. We put it, you know, we have a bolded thing in the in the description that explains it. We have in the photos, we actually have a photo that shows the process. So people are aware that, you know, it does not stay that way. But occasionally you get someone who didn't read the description or didn't look through all the photos, and then they get upset because they didn't realize what was going to happen, that was going to happen. And the way that I deal with that is education. So, you know, I send them the piece of the item description where it explains exactly the process and how they can reoxidize it themselves, and the photo that we have with the listing that shows the process. And generally speaking, you know, people are like, oh, okay, well, that was my mistake. So that's, you know, they just understand and move on. There's lots of other things that can happen, though. I remember once we had a customer who ordered a necklace for his wife. They were going to some event, and he was like, oh, I really need it by like 3 days from now. They were in Australia, so I was like, okay, well, here, you know, pay for express post. We'll work really hard and get it done ASAP for you. And we made it and shipped it. And of course, because it was express post, it had tracking and all that. And he contacted me and said, it hasn't arrived. And I looked at the tracking and it said delivered. So I'm like, I don't know what to do here, because, and I said, you know, I emailed him back and said, look, according to Australia Post, it's been delivered. There's not really anything I can do here. I'm really sorry, but I don't know what's gone wrong. You know, we talked to Australia Post. He lived in an apartment building, so maybe someone else picked it up or somebody stole it. Who knows? I don't know in the end of the day what happened with that story, but I tried to be as helpful as I could be while maintaining, you know, it's not our fault. We have done everything right, and we can't replace something that it said, you know, we have proof of delivery. Not that I think he was lying, and you certainly never ever say anything like that to a customer. No. That's one of the big red cross through. Don't ever accuse a customer of lying to you or stealing something, because I like to give people the benefit of the doubt, but also that's really bad business practice. Unless you have 100% proof, and then, you know, that's when you get other people involved if necessary, but let's hope that never happens. So there's all sorts of things. They're just a couple of examples of things that have gone wrong. This same process can apply if you get some sort of angry email. I've had very rarely, I think it's only happened to me two or three times over the years, I've had an email from someone that had in response to a blog post or something I've written, and they've like gotten really, really angry at me about what I've said because they vehemently disagree. And, you know, thankfully the first time that happened, I was able to follow this process that I'm going to talk about. And, you know, that you have to disconnect your personal emotions from that, because you've got to realize the other person is the one who's suffering. It's not your fault. It's their response to it. And you can't get drawn into the drama. It's really important not to get drawn into the drama and not take it personally, because, you know, it's all about, you know, when you're having some sort of, when you're putting something out there into the world, you can't control how people are going to respond to it. You can't control people's reactions, especially if it's something a little bit emotive, or, you know, that might dishearten people or whatever it might be. So, examples over for now. Let's talk about what we do. What happens? What do you do when something goes wrong and you have an unhappy customer? Okay. The first thing to do is don't panic. Like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, first screen, don't panic. Very important. You will, especially if it's the first or maybe even second time this has happened to you, you'll probably have an instinctual like fight or flight reaction. You'll probably get that charge of adrenaline. You'll feel really stressed and shaky because someone has had a go at you, and it's, you know, it's our natural instinctual response to freak out a little bit when that happens. So I know it probably will happen, but you need to stop and do whatever it is that you need to do to calm down. So don't ever respond to a customer in the heat of that feeling. Do not, you know, you read something or someone's angry or upset, you freak out and then you react to them. And that is the worst thing you can possibly do, because you will probably end up saying something you'll regret. And you won't be coming from a place of calm rationality, which is really, really important to do when dealing with someone else who is not calm and rational because they're upset. So they're angry or sad or whatever it might be that they're feeling. Don't react to that. You have the, unless you're on the phone, obviously if you're on the phone, you have to think quickly. But most of us probably deal via email or, you know, social media or whatever, a text-based format where you have the ability to take a step back and take some time to calm down. So that's the first thing you want to do is, you know, do some deep breathing, do some meditation, listen to something relaxing, whatever you need to do to just talk yourself back off that ledge of panic, please do that. Now, I understand that that might, you know, you probably won't be able to forget about it. It's going to be in your head, but just take a bit of time, walk away, actually literally put it down or step away from the computer, walk away, get a cup of tea or coffee and just, you know, have a break. If you can, and you have someone you trust, share it with them, and get their feedback as well. You know, two heads are better than one, especially, you know, with our business, I always will, get Nick and show him. But I actually don't generally do that straight away. I generally, something will happen, you know, if I get a bad review or whatever, and I'll think about it and then I'll write a response a little while later when I've, you know, if I feel stressed by it, and then I'll bring Nick and say, hey, here's what the person said. Here's what I've written in response. What do you think? So I actually always get him to check what I write back to the customer before I send it, because it's really good to have not an objective person because it's his business too, but just a second person who can kind of have a say on it. And if you're in a safe space, you know, like people in the Thriver Circle, many times have shared these sorts of stories, and obviously never using names or identifying people, don't ever do that, but a general story. This is what a customer has said. What would you, you know, well, how should I respond? How should I deal with this situation? And it's really helpful to have other people's ideas. So I'm not going to obviously give you specifics in this episode. I'm giving you general, general tenets, you know, general rules, I guess. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is be the bigger person. So, you know, come from that place of, like I said, calm rationality and don't get caught in the drama. So if you aren't caught in the drama, you can think logically and rationally, and you can also be compassionate. I think it's really important to be compassionate to your customers, especially the unhappy ones. You know, because let's be honest, you'll have the instinctual, how dare that horrible person say this about me, blah, blah, blah. You know, you'll have that anger response, which is normal, but it's important to move past that and try to understand where the person's coming from. Really try to put yourself in your customer's shoes as much as you possibly can. Be compassionate for their situation, even if they're being over the top dramatic, because you will get those people too. But just try to, you know, look at it from their perspective and think, okay, what's really going on here? Why, you know, what are they actually upset about here? And how can I, you know, try to address that issue? Because sometimes it might not be what's obvious, you know, it might be something underlying, and you might be able to pick up on that. So be the bigger person, come from that place of calm rationality. And the next thing is to admit your mistakes. Okay, so if you have made a mistake, you need to fix it. Whatever it takes, I don't care if it loses you money. That doesn't, in the grand scheme of things, money is not as important as your reputation. It really isn't. A little bit of money, or losing out on a little bit of money to, you know, prevent an unhappy customer from telling other people about it, or, you know, keeping a one-star review or whatever it might be. You know, if you've made a mistake, you need to admit it and fix it. So don't try to make excuses. Don't try to justify something. If you've done something wrong, say, I apologize. You know, I did this. I made this mistake. I will make it right. And if there's give the customer options. If there's multiple ways you can fix it, give them the options. Let them choose. People like to choose. It gives them a feeling of power. So if there is, you know, any sort of choice there, lay out what their choices are and let them choose the option that works best for them, that is most convenient and most, is easiest for them. So that is very, very important. Don't ever shirk it when you've stuffed up. Just own it and fix it and then move on. And don't berate yourself, but learn from it. So, you know, if you've made an obvious mistake and you can see how this could possibly happen again, fix the system that's broken. So somewhere along the line, something has gone wrong. You need to look at the whole process of that order and figure out where it went wrong and try to fix it in future. It might be the case even that you didn't explain something properly, or that, you know, you left, like, for example, when we started making those oxidized wedding rings, I didn't actually state in the description that it wouldn't, like, I didn't literally state this won't stay black. And that confused people. So that is literally in there now. I learned my lesson. I'd seen what other people had written and kind of not copied it, but gone, oh, well, that's what they've written, you know, it must be all right. But now my description, it's actually almost, I literally write, if you want a permanently black ring, this is not it. That is literally the line I write. And you might think that would turn people off because you're being very blunt about it, but it doesn't. Well, it hasn't for us. So don't be afraid to be completely honest about your products, because you do not want people to end up with something they don't expect, because they will only be disappointed. So admit your mistakes, fix them, go above and beyond to fix them, even if it costs you money, and then move on, try to fix the system that's broken so it doesn't happen again. If that means changing your policies, changing your description or photos, literally looking at your system from accepting an order to shipping an order, what went wrong where, make a note of it and fix it. Okay, so that's basically my other point, which was learn from the issues that arise. Don't just keep making the same mistake over and over again, like Bart Simpson with the cupcake. Anyone my age will know that. You know, No, don't keep making the same mistake over and over again, because you're just going to end up with more unhappy customers and you're going to be unhappy because you have to keep fixing things. So, now... The most important, well, not the most important, but it's very, very important, and this is difficult. Stick to your policies and don't be held ransom. What do I mean by that? I mean, don't, if you haven't made a mistake, if you are 100% in the right, and you know, your customer is upset about something that wasn't your fault, you had no control over, you know, whatever it might be. Don't be held to ransom by threats or even bad reviews. You know, it's if you have not made a mistake, you can't, if there's something's gone wrong that you can't fix, then you can't fix it, and you just have to like live with it, basically. At the same time, while I say don't be held to ransom, still be kind and understanding and honest and upfront with your customers. So this is a really good example here is the customs charge thing. You know, a customer who has received their item, ended up having to pay extra money for it, and then emails you really upset about this. First of all, it should be in your policies that you are not responsible for other countries' customs fees, blah, blah, blah. It's up to the customer to know the customs import duties of their country. That should be in your policies. If it's not, go put it in there after finishing listening to this episode. If you ship internationally, very important. You've covered your own self. You know, you have covered it. It's in your policies. If the customer didn't read it, that's unfortunate, but it isn't actually your fault. You haven't actually done anything wrong. You've done everything right. You know, it's been in your policies. You've shipped everything. The item is as described, all of that sort of stuff. Now, for example, you get a customer who emails you and goes, you need to pay me for this money. Well, no, you don't actually need to pay them that money because it's not your responsibility. It's their responsibility to pay the money. They might even go a step further and say, not that I've ever had this happen. I've never actually had anyone blatantly say, if you don't do this, I will leave you a bad review. And I really hope that doesn't ever happen to you. So fingers crossed, hopefully it never happens to me either. But you know, you need to be understanding and kind. Again, don't come from that place of reaction. Understand that it was a shock to them, that it upset them because it's something they didn't expect. It was a cost they didn't expect. And I think everybody can understand that. Like, who wants an extra, like, $20? You go to pick up something from the post office, suddenly, bam, you have to pay an extra $20 for it that you didn't anticipate or budget for. Yeah, I can understand. And that's what you want to say to the customer. You want to actually respond from a place of compassion and understanding while being firm on your policies that, you know, it's not your responsibility. You know, it's not something you can fix. You know, so you would respond to them and say, you know, I'm really sorry to hear that, you know, et cetera. And just empathize. People, oftentimes when people are upset, they just want somebody to empathize with them and actually understand them, you know. That's a really, really important step. So empathize with them. Don't ignore them. Don't ever ignore them. But, you know, think of a way to respond that is empathetic and understanding while not actually fixing something that you didn't break. So that's really important. Same with sticking to your policies. If you've got a policy on something, you need to stick to it. There are exceptions to this. You know, there is no, they're your rules. Your policies are your rules. If there is a situation that you personally feel, not out of fear, but out of compassion, if there's a situation that arises that you want to fix that doesn't align with your policies, then fix it. It's your business. You're in control. You have the power. Okay? But don't be railroaded into fixing something that you didn't break or, you know, doing something for a mistake you didn't make. So there's a few steps. Now, what do you do? How do you try to, you know, deal with this process-wise? So I'll give you an example. I won't give too many details because I don't want it to be obvious, but you know, my customer's privacy is 100% important to me. There was a customer who was who received something, and they were, you know, they really had not understood what it was that they ordered, and they, you know, they left a one-star review. So they didn't contact me first, I don't think. They left a one-star review, and you know, the review explained what the situation was, and I was like, whoa, okay, this customer has misunderstood what they were ordering. So I contacted them, and from this place of compassion and calm and understanding, and in, you know, and then we, through, you know, the process, that one-star review turned into a five-star review. So you know, it can be done, and always try to work it out with your customer. If you know, if that's happened, if they've left a bad review, always contact them privately, try to understand, try to fix the problem. And then hopefully they'll change the review. And if they don't, you can respond to it. Okay. If it's on Etsy or Facebook or whatever it is, you have the ability to respond and explain your side of the story. And sometimes, guys, sometimes that is what you're going to have to do. I mean, if you go to my Etsy shop and look through all the reviews, you will find a couple sprinkled there that the customer has been unhappy. We've been unable for whatever reason to work it out, and I've had to tell my side of the story in the reviews. So sometimes it's probably going to happen. Hopefully not very often, but you know, if you have a large volume of sales, you'll occasionally get a customer who just won't play ball. You know, they're upset. Something's gone wrong. They're not interested in trying to fix the problem. They're just upset and angry. And that's all. That's it. That's the end of the story. You can't change their mind. Nothing you say or do will make it better. And that's a, it's just a hard fact of business. You know, most of the time, most people, most of the time, will be reasonable. And if you approach it from a real, that real honest, compassionate, understanding perspective, you know, you'll be able to work it out, but don't 100% rely on that being able to happen. And if it doesn't happen, again, don't beat yourself up about it. Don't take it personally. Especially in these sort of creative businesses, it can be really, really easy to take things personally, to feel like they're upset with something that they've bought from you, that therefore they hate you and you think you're a horrible person, etc., etc., etc. Okay. And even if they do, you can't control what someone else thinks about you. You can only control yourself and your own mind and how you act and how you respond. And that's all you can do. So, you know, the same if you have stuff publicly on social media. You know, somebody says something, don't, you know, this is a difficult line. If somebody attacks you, I think you're within your rights to delete that. But if somebody says something, you know, has an unhappy post on social media that is, you know, genuine, like there's been an actual problem, then you need to respond to it. And respond to it in an honest and open and positive way, and hope that other people reading that will see both sides of the story. And that's what goes with, you know, reviews as well. When you respond to reviews, you know, if you've got 99 out of 100 five-star reviews and then one one-star or something like that, it's not going to really hurt your business because most people will understand that things go wrong occasionally, or that sometimes people are upset, or, you know, something's gone wrong and it can't be fixed and it's not necessarily your fault. So, you know, just don't let it bug you too much and try to move on from it. Now, this, I'm obviously coming from the perspective of you are doing your utmost to do the right thing, and you're honest and 100% genuine, and you know, that's who's listening to this podcast. Of course, there are people out there who are not like that, and you hope that you don't have to end up dealing with them as a customer or as a seller. But if you do, just still follow this process, you know. Take a step back, be the bigger person, stick to your policies, be honest and understanding and compassionate, admit your mistakes if you've made them, and go above and beyond to fix them. And hopefully, once you do all of those things, most of the time, you will be able to turn an unhappy customer into a satisfied and potentially even very happy customer who would willingly recommend you to their friends and family. And that is the best outcome for everybody, because everybody's happy in the end. And that is really what we're trying to aim for in our businesses and in our lives, isn't it? The best possible win-win outcome for everyone. So that's my little piece of advice for the week. If you've ever had to deal with an unhappy customer and, you know, you've got any advice on this, please don't hesitate to come on over and share it in the show notes, in the comments. This is episode 82. Go to createandthrive.com, look for podcast episode 82, share your thoughts in the comments. Thriver Circle members, I'd love to hear your thoughts in the Thriver Circle. You know, share your stories of what's happened and how you dealt with it and how it worked out in the end. I think those sort of stories are really helpful. But be careful, guys, not in the circle. If you don't like ever share customer stories publicly, don't ever share. It's like, you know, the whole don't air your dirty laundry. Don't ever ask for advice or whinge or anything like that about a customer's interaction in a public forum where they might possibly see it, or even where other people might see it and judge you for not protecting your customer's privacy. So that's very, very important. Don't ever name names and don't ever complain about your customers in a public forum. It's just not good business to do that. So thank you for listening. I hope you have a wonderful week. Hey, did you catch the supermoon? As I record this, it was last night. Nick and I went down the beach, grabbed some fish and chips and sat there and watched it rise. Unfortunately, so sad. There was cloud like for the first quite huge bit of the horizon. So we didn't get to see it coming up over the horizon, which was really sad because that's when it would have been super big. But it still was fun and we had a good time. And I made him take some yoga pose photos of me with the supermoon. Oh, he's so patient. That was quite funny. If you want to see those, just check out my Claro Yoga account on Instagram. That's at Claro Yoga, C-L-A-R-O Yoga. My yoga stuff is over there. It was good fun. I hope you got to see it and you got a good view and maybe a better photo than we managed. Have a wonderful week and thank you so much for listening. As always, it's an honor to be here with you. And I'll be back again next week. Bye for now.